Muito bom dia a todos e a todas. Declaro aberta a 62ª reunião extraordinária da Comissão Permanente de Direitos Humanos e Legislação Participativa da primeira sessão legislativa ordinária da 55ª legislatura. A presente reunião destina-se à realização de audiência pública nos termos do requerimento número 24 de 2015, da CDH, de autoria do senador Magno Malta, para instruir a sugestão número 15 de 2014. Na verdade, também vai assinada pelo senador Paulo Paim, e eu queria de imediato comunicar a quem acompanha essa audiência pública que o senador Magno Malta está enfermo, mas está acompanhando a audiência do seu leito de enfermo lá no Espírito Santo e que certamente vai encaminhar as suas questões, seus questionamentos e suas perguntas ao longo dessa audiência. Esse requerimento é de autoria do senador Magno Malta e do senador Paulo Paim, para instruir na sugestão número 15 de 2014, que regula a interrupção voluntária da gravidez dentro das 12 primeiras semanas de gestação pelo Sistema Único de Saúde. Esta audiência pública será realizada em caráter interativo com a possibilidade de participação popular. Por isso, as pessoas que tenham interesse em participar com comentários ou perguntas podem fazê-lo por meio do portal e-Cidadania, e-Cidadania, link www.senado.leg.br/e-Cidadania, tudo junto, e do Alô Senado através do número 0800-61-2211. Audiências públicas como essas são fundamentais no Parlamento, principalmente numa sociedade que de pouca cultura democrática como a sociedade brasileira. Nós estamos engatinhando na construção da democracia. A nossa vida política no país, ela é caracterizada pelo autoritarismo, não é? E pelo isolamento da maioria da sociedade brasileira. Eu abro essa sessão fazendo esse parêntese, porque acho importante que nós tenhamos claro que não somos muito afetos ao contraditório. Os conflitos, em geral, nós colocamos para debaixo do tapete e não trazemos para o debate. Essa audiência trata de um tema, não é um tema com muita controvérsia na sociedade, mas é um tema real. É um tema vivido pela sociedade que nós não podemos colocar debaixo do tapete, porque ele existe e ele está presente no cotidiano de milhões de brasileiras e de brasileiros. Portanto, é fundamental que a gente traga esse debate o centro, onde é que tem que ser debatido, que é o Parlamento. É aqui que se elaboram as leis, é aqui que se busca harmonizar a convivência social. Portanto, eu dou início convidando para compor. Nós temos uma mesa, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, com 8 debatedores.
Nem todos chegaram,
então eu vou convidar os que já chegaram. Para a gente compor a mesa e iniciar, não é, ouvindo os dois lados. Aqui há um certo equilíbrio, pelo que me informou a secretaria da mesa, há um certo equilíbrio de posições, e isso é muito importante para nós, parlamentares, não é, termos essa visão de posições diferentes, poder acompanhar as posições diferentes que vão ser colocadas aqui ao longo da audiência pública. E, dando sequência, nós estamos aqui para ouvir os convidados. Falar menos, eu ouvi os convidados. Eu só adverto que os senadores, todos os senadores, eles, marcando presença aqui, eles têm direito a se manifestar, não é, na hora em que julgarem oportuno, até porque as agendas dos senadores são agendas muito intensas aqui na casa e são muitas as comissões e cada senador participa de várias comissões, portanto, muitas das vezes eles frequentam essa comissão, daqui a pouco estão em outra comissão, enfim, passam as suas jornadas atendendo às demandas e às exigências do mandato. Eu gostaria de convidar e agradecer desde já a todos que compareceram a essa audiência pública, atenderam o nosso convite, doutor David, não sei inglês, Kyler, é um sobrenome um pouco... Diretor do filme Blood Money. Seja muito bem-vindo. Vamos sentar. Convido em seguida a senhora Sônia Correia, que é representante do SOS Corpo, Instituto Feminista para a Democracia. Tem algum equívoco aqui? Então vamos já corrigir. Pode chegar aqui, vamos aqui, que a gente já corrige e não vai para a ata de forma equivocada. Sônia.
Eu sou fundadora do SOS Corpo, mas nessa sessão eu represento o Observatório de Sexualidade Política, que é um projeto internacional sediado na ABIA, Associação Brasileira Interdisciplinar de AIDS, no Rio de Janeiro. Muito obrigada.
Muito bem, muito obrigado. Recolocado, agora damos sequência. Convido o padre Paulo Ricardo. Padre Paulo Ricardo. Ele está chegando, não é? Então, vamos em frente. Senhora Débora Diniz, professora da Faculdade de Direito da UNB e pesquisadora do Instituto de Bioética, Direitos Humanos e Gênero. Desculpa. A professora Débora tampouco ainda, pode ser o trânsito aí que está, uma cidade sem, como é que chama? Sem metrô, sem ônibus, sem transporte de massa, a gente fica preso. Cada um anda num carro. Né? Aí todo mundo sai de manhã, cada carro leva uma pessoa. Não tem coisa mais incoerente que... Eu trato de dar minha contribuição, eu venho de táxi, né? Só para não entulhar mais o trânsito do que já está. Convido a senhora Viviane Petinelli e Silva, representante do Instituto de Políticas Governamentais do Brasil. Muito bem. Convido a senhora professora Tatiana Leonso, professora adjunta do Instituto de Psicologia, conselheira do CRPDF, integrante do movimento estratégico pelo Estado Laico. Convido a professora Márcia Tiburi, professora de pós-graduação da Universidade Presbiteriana Mackenzie. Convido a vereadora, a Luísa Helena, minha querida amiga, ex-senadora dessa casa.
Ela me ligou agora, senador, está vindo do aeroporto para cá, acho que
10 minutos também. 10 minutos. Tá, não tem problema, vamos começando por aqui. Bom, eu vou aqui rapidamente esclarecer as regras do debate. Nós vamos ter 10 minutos para cada debatedor, com uma prorrogação de 2 minutos. Olha, em 10 minutos se faz uma revolução no mundo, não é? Então, a professora Débora chegou? Opa, professora. Esclareço que o senador Magno Malta está enfermo, está de cama, e que está acompanhando à distância essa audiência pública, assim como todos aqueles que queiram nos acompanhar pela internet, né, e também pela transmissão, né, da TV Senado, e que queiram encaminhar questões, perguntas, está franqueado. Bom, então vamos começar, vamos abrir esse debate convidando o senhor David Quayle, diretor do filme Blood Money, para o uso da palavra. Por favor, quem desejar utilizar o aparelho tradutor, está disponível aqui na mesa. Por favor, queiram acessar, está disponível a todos.
Ok, if you could start the video, just play a few minutes of this.
That will save a life or relieve suffering. Abortion is an elective surgery of convenience that is rarely performed to save the life of the mother.
I wasn't in for all of that abortion. Somebody else was in there with him. But I went in toward the end, and I'd never seen that much blood. I mean, you know, just blood everywhere. And we put her in the recovery room, and she just filled the bed. And we changed the bed a couple of times. and her blood pressure was erratic, and the doctor left. I was really worried about her, and I tried to call him, and her boyfriend kept wanting to go home, and her blood pressure stabilized a little bit, but I just didn't believe she was, you know, it's just like that feeling you have that she's not right. Well, at 10 o'clock, the boyfriend said, look, if there's anything happens, I'll call you immediately. And at 4:30, he called the doctor, and he didn't take the history, and he said, put her in a tub of hot water, and when he did, the last little bit of blood in her body ran out. And he called me about 6 and said, she's dead. And he immediately started telling me how he was going to do the cover-up. And somehow it all worked out, and the autopsy didn't show anything, and no charges were filed, and nothing happened. The newspapers didn't call. Nobody came. We killed that woman and did abortions the next morning.
And many times you'll see a young lady who's been killed by abortion, and on the death certificate you see something like spontaneous gangrene of the ovary or a therapeutic misadventure or something like that.
The families are so hurt by what's happened and shamed that their daughter had this abortion and died from it or whatever. They don't come forward.
You see, abortion makes a doctor almost lawsuit proof, because the woman is so ashamed that she went to get an abortion that even if he butchers her so that she has to have a hysterectomy, they aren't going to say anything to anybody about it, nothing, because they don't want anyone to know.
We had one girl, 22 years old, a model, who danced in, jumped up on the table, laughed at the doctor that she didn't wear underwear. She was 22 weeks pregnant. We put her on the table. Now, there's a maneuver called the Hansen's maneuver. Now, the doctor may do it himself, or someone may do it, but I did it for the big baby, two of our big baby abortionists. I held the babies, and you say the head's here, the feet are here, the buttocks are here, and you gently push the baby down into the instruments. And the first time this doctor went in, he pulled out omentum. That's the lining to the intestines. He literally perforated her uterus and was pulling her bowel out her uterus with the very first time he went in with the instruments. And the second time he went in, he pulled out her bowel and he pushed it back in, live baby, woke the woman up, put her in my car, because it's terrible, terrible advertisement to think about having an ambulance in front of an abortion clinic. You just don't want it. So we put her in my car, and we didn't take her to the hospital nearest us. We didn't take her to the hospital that would take the best care of her. We took her across town to a hospital that would help us cover up what we'd done. And this surgeon is taking this girl who has a perfectly complete baby inside her with her bowel pulled out her vagina upstairs to the operating room. 7 doctors operated on that baby, on that girl. They had to do a colostomy to resection her bowel to empty into this bag. They pulled the baby out. He rolled it into the disposable drapes and put it into the incinerator at the hospital. All 7 of those doctors falsified the records. We killed that baby that way. The doctors falsified the records. We told that girl she had an abdominal pregnancy, and she didn't sue us.
In Roe, the court made the issue of abortion a decision.
I chose that part of the video because it demonstrates that there is no such thing as a safe abortion. Even minor surgeries carry risks. And just like other surgeries, whether appendicitis or any surgery you can think of, they have risk, and abortion has risk. In the United States, women die all the time. Women are hurt all the time by abortions. And this is just the physical aspects of their abortion. There's also mental aspects of it that we know is widespread, from depression, suicide, any number of things. They don't bond with their children. They lose their love of their children. There's many, many aspects of abortion that affects the women that have them and affects their family. Because when a woman is affected, it also is going to affect her family. But before I continue, I just want to say, you know, you have a perfect opportunity here in Brazil because you get to debate this issue. You get to put the truth out in front of the people. In the United States, we had abortion imposed on us by the courts. So we did not have the debate that you have now. And for me and for you, that's a great opportunity to expose the truth. And the truth is that abortion is bad, abortion is dangerous. Now, this is the Commission on Human Rights. The prime human right is life. No one can doubt that. So how, if you support human rights, can you be for abortion? If you take away that prime right of those babies and you disregard that right, then all the other rights after that do not matter. You know, in my point of view, a government that is willing to take away that prime right is a tyrannical government. You know, it is doing something that they should not be doing. Governments are supposed to protect our rights, protect our lives, not destroy them. And we also talk about women's rights. 50% of these babies that are killed are women. I mean, how can you be for women's rights and be for abortion? You are killing half, you know, half of them are females. You know, I was in Chile recently, and they talked about they're trying to pass abortion laws in Chile. And they talked about coming up to Western standards. In the past, in ancient history, we had societies that killed their babies, killed other adults in human sacrifices. We look at those societies as being somehow backwards and wrong. And yet, that is what we are doing today in the United States and around the world. We are sacrificing our children for what? For the most part, for money. It's all about money. So in Chile, they talked about elevating themselves up to Western countries by bringing abortion in, like the Western countries have. But to me, that doesn't elevate those countries. It brings them down to the levels that the Western countries are at, even my country, the United States. So it is extremely important that when you talk about human rights and talk about women's rights, you understand that abortion should not be an option. As a civilized society, we should be taking care of the defenseless, defending those defenseless babies in the womb. We should be taking care of those who cannot care for themselves. That is what a civilized society does. It does not kill the defenseless. It does not kill those who cannot take care of themselves. Now, my film was called Blood Money. And originally, the film was called American Holocaust. But as we were doing these interviews, the issue of money kept coming up time and time again. And when we started the film, money wasn't even on our minds. But every interview, even the interviews of the women who have had abortions, money came up because they were pressured. And they would say, if you do it, don't do it now. If you wait, it's going to cost you more money. So as we did more investigation on the money aspects, we understood that it's not about supporting women. It's about making money. Billions and billions of dollars are made on killing babies. And that same thing will happen here in Brazil if you allow abortion to happen. We know recently Planned Parenthood has been caught on video selling baby parts. Now, we've known about this for decades in the United States, but we have never had the opportunity or the chance to have them on video admitting it. So right now, it's a big scandal. But it shows that, you know, in addition to taking the women's money for aborting that baby, they are also making money off of the dissected babies. They're making money off the organs of those innocent children. It's, you know, odd that we in the modern world can think it's this baby, this child is an inconvenience. Let's throw it away, like we throw away so many other things in our society. You know, we live in a disposable society where, you know, our car gets old, we buy a new car. You know, any number of things. We just throw things away. Well, life, why would we throw away life? Why would we throw away something as important as life? You are throwing away your future generations. The Western world countries right now are in decline, and part of that reason they are in decline population-wise is because of abortion. And you will see the same thing here in Brazil. Why do you want to destroy your future generations? Why do you want to destroy the people that will take care of you, that will be productive citizens in your country? to me, it makes no sense. You know, it strikes me that people that are pro-abortion, you know, look down on us that are pro-life because we don't want to give these so-called human rights. But in my mind, we are the true defenders of the human rights because we believe in life. And life as the prime right should be paramount to anything and everything. And when we see that as a society, when we see that as a civilization, I think we will be much better off. And, you know, in the United States, we've had 56, 57 million kids killed by abortion. So I would think there's not one family, whether they know it or not, there's not one family in the United States that has not been affected by abortion in some way. And to me, to put yourselves here in Brazil into that same situation, why would you want to do that? It makes no sense. Abortion, we know, destroys relationships. It destroys families. Why do you want to destroy your families? That is all.
Muito obrigado. Obrigado pela exposição.